What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live today at Flowery Branch, where we will get a chance to not only talk to our coach, but we will get a chance to talk to our quarterback. We're talking about my quarterback. Kirk Cousins is going to stop by. As I said on Twitter, we do not call it X. I'd love to give you a time, but honestly, this is about practice. And once they get done, it could be 3:30, it could be 3:40, it could be 4 o'clock, it could be 4:10.
But as we know, you'll be listening for all 4.5 hours today. It's roughly early for some Hawks. But, yeah, that's approximate when we're going to get him. So do hang on. And, again, we have not talked to Kirk since the beginning of camp when we had a conversation off the air with him. And I think I speak for, like, almost every Falcon fan out there that when he comes in, I love you, man. You know, and let's keep on trucking because, you know, after we got that Steelers game out of the way, it's just been some amazing storylines, hasn't it?
It really has.
Man, he's legit.
Well, that was Bijan early before we even got a chance to see him at camp, and that has turned out to be true. You know, he's one of the top passers in the league right now, top three as far as yards are concerned. He's one of the top 10 as far as touchdowns. He's one of three quarterbacks that have thrown 14 or more touchdowns this season. All the things that we had hoped for is playing, you know, right where we thought it would. And, you know, heading into this Dallas game, listen, I am not – discrediting Dallas. I'm not telling you that Dallas won't come in here ready to play. Guys, they've lost four in a row. You talk about desperate. You thought Seattle was desperate?
Right.
The Cowboys are very desperate. And, Mike, I get it. Any given Sunday, and these guys may show up, but here's what I don't want to happen as we get into this today. And break down Thursday and Friday, you know, what the game plan may be and how to attack these guys. But, Mike, I do not want to come out flat like we did 2 weeks ago against Seattle.
Yeah, and look, as we said, that happens to even the good teams historically, but let's hope that that's the one that we got out of our system because now, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the bar gets raised. People see this and we look at the NFC playoff landscape and you say, okay, maybe the Lions are the team that's a little more complete than anybody else, but we're certainly in that next tier with, like, for instance, Philadelphia, maybe the Commanders, you know, certainly the Packers, and, you know, we're going to see a couple of these guys on the schedule. But yeah, I'm with you, brother. We beat that Tampa Bay Bucks team. We beat Carolina, and then, you know, Seattle did have 10 days for us, but they were ready, and they were under some pressure. Dallas is too. Dallas, you talked about infighting or whatever, inner pressure, which is always there with America's team. But you still got to get Dak on the ground. Otherwise, he'll carve you up. He can do it.
He can do it. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com as we broadcast live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at Flowery Branch as the Falcons start their preparation for this Sunday, which, again, Cowboys come to town, Mike. We know this. There are going to be a ton of Cowboy fans there, right? Win or lose, however the season's going, these guys are going to show up. They don't have a lot to cheer about right now. There's not a lot going right for the Cowboys, guys, to be quite honest with you. I mean, even CeeDee Lamb has struggled after, you know, the holdout and finally getting his bag. But, Mike, last week he had 146 yards, and that sounds impressive. But, guys, it was late in a game in which – they were giving up everything in front of them, and I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers. So he was getting big chunks, but this wasn't like he was breaking them off in the first and second quarter and making big plays and big explosives. So don't get it twisted when you say, well, CeeDee Lamb, a lot of that was, we'll let you catch it in front of us because we're not going to give up the big play. Right. And they didn't, and Dallas ended up folding. So I just feel like there is right now, offensively, a lot of issues and trouble. If we can't find a way to get a sack this week, I don't know if it's going to happen all season.
As you said, they just can't run the football. They really should have brought Derrick Henry in, but Jerry was strapped for cash. Not literally, just with the cap he was. But, yeah, it's just a team that, and you said it, yeah, they always get the juice because of the fan base. But I will say this, you really can't call Cowboys fans front runners anymore. Because if you think about it, guys, just think about this. Since they last played in the Super Bowl, granted they won it, the Falcons have been to two.
Yep.
And they haven't been to any. So you are actually now maybe not that front runner who has the Lakers jersey or the Yankees cap in the closet, but they are a team which has flaws. So I think, you know, you just touched it on. We can maybe let these guys have the big play in the little plays, avoid the big play. Maybe Dak, I don't care if he throws for 400 yards, but just keep those guys out of the end zone.
No, I agree with you. And it may be that kind of game, by the way, because their lack of ability to run the ball, he will have to throw for a lot and be accurate and not turn it over, which, again, bodes well for us.
And we didn't bring anybody in, and we're not going to have anybody in in on this team, by the, doesn't sound like, before the Sunday's game. So what we've had, you will have again. Will we make some moves? We'll try to get it out of coach.
Yeah.
You know, we've asked him seven ways to Sunday. We'll continue to apply a little bit of pressure on just where is the solution in the building, and if it's not, what you going to do?
Yeah, where is that solution? Hey, man, follow us on social media. It is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell at 929 The Game, and also follow the radio station. Stay up on everything that's going on. Let's hear from Raheem Morris. Coach is going to join us here in a little bit over an hour talking about Cousins and being the processor that he is. I said it to start the week, Mike. We're here because of him and his ability to make these plays. He was almost perfect. I mean, listen, he probably watched the film and thought he could have made some throws that we're not going to see.
Right.
But he was damn good last Sunday. And Raheem was talking about it.
100%, Torrey. You know, that was probably his cleanest game as a quarterback as an Atlanta Falcon. You know, and I know it's hard to say when he threw for 500 yards one week, but you know how I feel about stats. But yesterday, as far as being clean, as far as throwing the ball exactly where it needs to go, being able to exhaust his progressions, feeling really comfortable, being decisive, doing all the different things that Kurt does well. He actually ran the ball yesterday. I was really pleased with our quarterback play yesterday, and you can see the confidence in our offense when he's playing that way and the style of play we want to play. And it's been the vision, you know, we were lucky enough to go out there and sign him.
Yeah, that confidence is rubbing off on guys. Mike, do you feel like, guy asked me, he sent me a message and he said, do you guys feel like everybody on the offense is playing better? And I'm like, well, yeah, because the quarterback is playing better.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback, and you know, for instance, you know, when Hinton had it going in the Seattle game, it was pretty rough. When Hinton went in this week, he did the job. Now, granted, Todd Bowles not blitzing and Todd Bowles, his defensive scheme, that's a them problem. But we adapted and we obviously got everybody involved. The fact that, you know, we're no longer talking about Kyle Pitts, our only bellyache about Kyle Pitts is he just didn't run harder for one more yard on the touchdown. Kyle Pitts is involved. Bijan is everybody who's been drafted. If anything, now Drake's kind of fallen down a little bit on the pecking order, at least Mooney and everybody else. And I'm sure that's not an issue. I think Drake could very easily pop this week against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But everything is cooking. That's what's making this so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and
tough to defend.
It is, and we've had, to Mike's point, we've had offensive line issues now only because of injury. It's not that these guys aren't any good, but when you're trying to fill the void of one or two guys at the same time, and, you know, that game where we lost two guys, I mean, we felt that. But the O-line has still responded. I saw a stat, you know, PFF does this stuff every week where they break stuff down. Jake got a great rating last week. Guys, to Mike's point about this whole blitzing thing with Tampa, if they didn't want to blitz Kirk Cousins, fine. I'm surprised they didn't, but give the O-line a lot of credit. They picked up the blitzes in which they did try to get to him.
Right.
And, Mike, listen, we broke them off 420 yards, right, running the football. Our O-line is doing a really good job, and it really doesn't matter who's been out there these last few weeks.
Right. I mean, and the ability to get the yardage, I mean, to get – like, all you do is get Bijan in space. Get Bijan one-on-one. He's going to beat that guy 99% of the time. So, I know that the first week, like, a lot of fans were like, this isn't the Madden game we thought it was going to be, and we've already talked about it. Kirk, I still don't think, was 100%, and Zach was having to adapt to that. Zach Robinson, I'm loving the play calling. I mean, the only thing we kind of, you know, we found a way to run that 6 minutes off the clock at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, granted, you know, he can't, it's not his fault that Tyler fumbled, but, and we had that safety, but the offense has been really, really good. And the Kirk did overthrow Drake, you know, one of those interceptions against Seattle. So we've had two stinkers this year. And that's, I'll take that. I mean, you know, we've had some really good things happening with this offensive scheme.
Yeah. The first week we were still, it's one score game. We're in it. Seattle game is an outlier. The thing that I'm loving about Zach Robinson, and we'll ask Kirk this, Mike, there's been no foolishness with this offense, right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be inside-outside zone. We're going to play action. Mm-hmm. We're going to put him in the shotgun. Like, here's the fundamentals of our offense. There's been no clowning around where tight end one throws it to tight end three.
Right.
There's been none of this foolishness that we had seen over the last few years. To me, that matters, because what it says is there's a fundamental belief from Zach Robinson that not only I believe in the quarterback to make the plays that we need to make, but we don't need to go outside of ourselves to try to fool anybody. You know what? Here's what we do. Stop us. I love it.
And that's the thing that you and I used to go crazy about, and I'm not going to, you know, it is what it is. Arthur Smith, we had a hard time at times trying to wrap our head around just what exactly we were doing with those gadget plays. I think what's the most, I don't know, outlandish thing that Zach Robinson has dialed up? A jet sweep to Ray McCloud. That's just strong football.
Yes.
Using the speed element, seal it, get your offensive lineman in the game, as you just talked about. So that's it. A jet sweep for 17 yards to Ray Ray.
And I'll take
that's
that.
That's cool.
Yes.
And that's I don't need – they went for the fake punt. They did a fleet flicker, and Baker's just thrown it away, but he stayed committed to it, and that's when Jesse Bates pulled the pick.
Well, both of those situations set up scenarios where we could go back down the field and score. Those are huge mistakes in a game. I just want people to realize, like, there hasn't been any of that foolishness. We haven't necessarily gotten every fourth down. I right. get it. But we're not trying trickery, because that stuff doesn't play. You need to be who you are. And by the way, it doesn't mean that we won't pull one of those plays out between now and the end of the right. season. It's a long year, man. But we hadn't seen it in the first 8-9 weeks, Mike. And that's good news, because that means you believe in what we're doing, and we're going to score with this. By the way, you know, we struggled in scoring for a very, very long time in this right. league. We are now 12th in scoring at 24.3 points. Mike, if you just took that to 25, we'd be top 10.
Right.
I mean, we're already in the top 10.
The only beef that Falcon fans could have would have been the 3rd-and-1 and the 4th-and-1 against Kansas City. Think about it. You know, for the most part, we've been a team that we're not – when we come back to work on Monday, you and I aren't going, that stupid thing and that stupid thing. And that's a nice feeling for us and I think for Falcon fans.
Hey, man, we got a lot to get to. Kirk Cousins is going to stop by. Stay tuned. It's Dukes and Bell. When we come back to Flowery Branch, though, what in the hey were those fans thinking last night?
I'll tell you.
We got to talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We've got a series, if you've been paying attention. I said to you yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, that we missed Freddie Freeman's clutch. Some guys wanted to argue because they thought we were bringing up and reminiscing about why Freeman left. That was not the case. We were just simply saying, in these big spots, you need this, and he continues to rake. But last night, we had an incident that everybody's talking about, Mike, in the World Series. By the way, Yankees win 11-4. They avoid the sweep. We'll see what happens tonight. But this incident with Mookie Betts is a mess.
I mean, I was telling Chris, our producer, you know, before the show, it's like, what's going on in the world? I mean, like the Bartman thing in Chicago years ago, that was one thing. You know, it's a guy just trying to catch the ball, and he's elevated over a player. These two jabronis, and that's exactly what they are, jabronis. John Peter and Austin Capobianco.
Oh!
I mean, it's like, what are you guys thinking? And the idea that, like, no, when they up, and then security comes up, no, it's the line right here. See, the stands begin here. When Mookie comes in here, it's our territory. You know, we're the home team. We're heroes. You know, we're heroes. And they're going up the aisle as they're getting the gate, and the fans are going, ah, they're cheering them.
They were.
And, you know, it just drives me crazy. They think of us as a bunch of goobers down here in Atlanta. And these two nitwits right out of Central Casting, Major League Baseball tells the Yankees, you can't let these guys back in. And it looks like the Yankees are going to oblige. And there was a report out earlier that said they're going to refund their money for the next game. Are you out of your mind?
Why?
Not only do you not get to come, you don't get to come back ever. You're banned for life from Yankee Stadium. And by the way, your lucky Mookie Betts is so cool that they didn't call for the cops and get you guys nailed for assault.
Yeah, I agree.
You put hands on him.
Yeah, and again, for those who missed it, Torres has a pop-up. Mookie makes the play, and these guys are literally sitting right there on the wall. Right. And they're grabbing his hand. Mookie Betts could have broke his hand.
Imagine this guy applies pressure.
Correct.
Because remember, he's got to leap up to get in the stands. It's where the stands kind of go up in an incline on the foul line on first base. So you got, I mean, these guys, and the guy's like trying to twist the ball out of his hand, out of his glove hand. And then the other knucklehead runs in, he's got his hand on his wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Betts, man, I want him, and I want him. And I go, put him in. Out the door, man, in cuffs. I mean, and you're within your right. You can't do that.
It's unacceptable. And there is no, this is the line. There's none of that. Okay, you're in a stadium as a fan. And we always talk about this. What does your ticket include, right? Everybody thinks their ticket price includes, well, I can spit on a guy. Good luck with that. Right. Oh, I can throw a beer on a guy. Good luck with that. We've seen those things play out and what happens. This is not included with your ticket price. So I get it. Do I want the action right in front of me, Mike? Yes. Am I yelling like crazy?
Right.
Miss that ball, bet you better miss. Yes, but I'm not touching these dudes. And so I'm with you. This should have been a situation where the Yankees said, not only are you done for tonight because they shouldn't be allowed in, but we'll see you guys. Oh, never.
Like, or at least a year from Capobianco. We don't want to lose our season tickets. We're hoping for a short-term ban. You know, because, you know, technically we're the heroes. You know, don't forget that little kid, you know, in '96, you know, against the Orioles. You know, they consider that kid a hero. It's just, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, it's just, I know every week now, again, we saw the Texas fans, but that's not the first time we've seen guys throw debris on the field, but it just seems like it's just more of a, I don't know, a pandemic of bad behavior. Every week you and I will see some meme of somebody just beating the living snot out of somebody else in a football game. It's like, where's the civility? Where's the common sense, I guess is the question.
Well, Mike,
gone.
It's gone, but also I think, you know, as the temperature has risen across society, it's happened at these sporting events. And unfortunately, that is something that, you know, needs to calm itself down. I'll say this. I was very impressed by the Yankees last night, though. You talk about a must-win.
Got things cooking.
Yeah, not wanting to get swept.
Volpe really kind of kicked it into gear.
It was, you know, to force a Game 5 is great. The problem is teams in this situation in the World Series forcing a Game 5 after trailing 0-3, Mike, have not lost, right? Have not won the next game.
Right.
And you can go back to the 1970 Reds. They lost against the O's. They forced a Game 5. They were trailing 0-3. 1937 Giants lost to the Yankees. 1910 Cubs. The history doesn't say it bodes well for them tonight and coming back. And then Freddie again, man, homering, what is it? Oh, he's homering in all four games.
Right, and now six World Series games in a row going back to his time with us. So Freddie is dialed in. The Dodgers, you know, they had a choice. Do we want to try to keep this tight? They said, you know what, this game's getting away from us. Let's get away from our A-list closers and relievers, middle inning guys, saving them for today. You and I debated the wisdom of going with Gerrit Cole or not. Works out for certainly for Aaron Boone. So he gets to use Gerrit Cole now on regular rest as opposed to short rest. And we'll see if the Yankees can make a go. Of course, everyone knows how the Red Sox turned the tables down 0-3 in the ALCS.
Yes.
Back in 0-4.
Not the World Series.
But as Carl said, never happened in the WS.
We'll see how that goes. Maybe this sparked them last night as far as hitting. And you know, if it did, then we'll see if they can make it two in a row and maybe take this thing back to L.A. and see where it goes. But Judge finally gets an RBI. He scored three runs, got a stolen base. Maybe he can get himself going now because they desperately need him to get going.
Yeah, and the crowd supporting him had a single to left field late in the game. But, you know, the Dodgers, I just now, it's funny. We had this discussion about Freddie. Look, we all know what Freddie is. He's one of the most clutch Braves to ever dress out. And kind of the legacy of what Chipper used to be, you know, Freddie did that here, and he's doing it for the Dodgers. It was just a matter of how, you know, it went down at the end. It's so funny to see all these tweets and things on social media with, oh, how did Alex Anthopoulos? He had a number. Anthopoulos had a number, and he was going to go higher. Now, here's the argument. Matt Olson has produced at a high rate. We've had an amazing year last year.
He ain't Freddie.
But he's not Freddie. He just ain't Freddie.
No. It's. I'd love to tell you that the it's, you know, on the same level.
Right.
It's not. I mean, you can be an all-star, Mike, but there are levels to this. They're just are.
You know,
and Freddie is on the verge of being a future Hall of Famer. He's been an MVP. He's won a World Series. He's about to be the MVP of the World Series. He's going to be the Hall of Famer. And I can't say that about Matt Olson, even though everybody wants to talk about 100 RBI. Sometimes these numbers add up, but they're different levels of players, man.
You're right. And I know when we get back into the numbers, it's funny how whenever we bring up Freddie Freeman, everybody on social media apparently is a tax attorney and can tell you how much money you lose living in California. But okay, I mean, okay, so yes, hypothetically, he could have stayed here for basically, for a few pennies. Look, talk to Freddie. Our only beef, I think, at the time, not speaking for you, but you could comment on it, was how do you not be dialed in with your agent to be like the babe in the woods and not know what the nature of the conversation is between the Braves and your rep?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Which basically Freddie claims.
He did. I think there's a total trust that goes into this guy or lady, whomever is representing you, has my best interest. And I trust them to have these conversations and then come back to me and say, hey, this is where we are.
Right.
And I don't know if that ever took place or if it didn't, but I will tell you guys this. Dansby had the same agent as Freddie. He got $180 million with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
He got more money than he would have gotten here. I don't know if that is ultimately what really happened or not, but you know what? He trusted him, and it played out the way it did. We're happy for Freddie. This is not about him coming back or any of that.
Right.
We're just simply laying out that you look at his performance in this World Series. And by the way, he's not 100%. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, you want to see in a Braves uniform with him.
You tough it out with that ankle injury, man. I mean, he's legging out infield hits.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was fielder's choice. He was safe at first. And you know the guy's in agony. He's a career 300 hitter with 343 home runs and 2,200 hits in his career. Matt Olson is a career 250 hitter and a very streaky hitter. I know everyone goes through streaks over the course of their season. But, you know, Matt Olson's get ice cold. So it is what it is. I mean, you hope that when we come back, and I don't know what Acuña's going to be and some of the other moves are going to pan out. But But Freddie is one that you say, man, you miss that X factor. You miss that clutch.
404-726-0929. We're live at Flowery Branch. Coming up, we'll talk about where the Falcons rank, at least right now in our minds, coming off the win against the Bucks and what other teams look like around the league. Kirk Cousins is set to join us. Guys, hit me up on social media. What time? Tune in. We have no control over what time practice is
over.
Between
approximately 3:30 and 4:15. How's that? Does that work for you?
When practice is over, he will come in here. But it could be later. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he needs to go get iced up. I don't know.
We also have the Odyssey app. That's the sound of rewind. So you can always do the Odyssey app. But, you know, most of you will hang with us for at least 3 hours, 4 hours, and hopefully five. But that's the window we are given by the Falcons, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, you want to hear from your quarterback, man. It don't matter. We're here till 6:30. You guys just hang out, all right? Relax.
In the meantime, we're going to entertain you, give you lots of shenanigans.
Correct. Let's talk about a banged-up Hawks team who's in Washington tonight.
Oh, God.
Dyson Daniels out tonight. Vete Krejci, 2 weeks. Bogey, 4 weeks. Kobe Bufkin, 4 weeks.
Aye, aye, aye.
Okay, so here's the thing. Trey, you should be. After Trey, who's handling the ball?
Well, that's a great question, Carl. Apparently, they're going to have this deal where they're going to spin a wheel. This is only at home games, mind you. And if you played up to varsity level, you get to come out on the court. And then we'll see what you can do. They'll even have a uniform for you. They'll stitch your name on the back.
You got to win these games.
But this gets back to when you don't move. Now, Capella, if you wanted to move Capella for some other pieces, you don't have depth right now.
No.
So you don't have depth to absorb this, and you didn't improve the team aside from bringing in, you know, we like Dyson Daniels, but now Dyson Daniels is out for a game.
Yeah.
You know, with a hip flexor?
Something like that.
You know, look, I don't want to get on my rant that I get on every other day about the NBA, but it's like, man, come on, man. We haven't even started the season, and we're already losing a game that we shouldn't have lost to the Wizards, blow a 13-point lead. I mean, this is where it gets very difficult at time for the fans. This is where you need DeAndre Hunter. Where's he at?
Who?
Exactly. So this is where DeAndre – I don't mind you guys getting hurt. It's when you all get hurt at the same freaking time because it happens all the time.
It seems like it does. We'll have the game for you. Coverage starts at 6:30. Maybe Trey can get hot and not shoot 2 for 15 tonight. I said it. And maybe he can carry us, and this is a game, again, you should win. They should have won the other night.
And by the way, when everybody's hurt, Trey, take all the freaking shots.
Who cares?
You know, but that's where you've got to step up and be that guy, which we know he can be. It's not like he can't do it.
No, I agree. Listen, they got enough to win tonight. It's just unfortunate early in the season. Here we are feeling like we were last year at the beginning of the year when everybody was hurting. And then, you know, from Double O to Dre, all these guys, Jalen, everybody got hurt.
And I'm sorry for some Hawks fans about you being too negative. No, here we are. It's not even Halloween. It's tomorrow, and it feels like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it does. Meanwhile, guys, Dogs taking on Florida. It is the cocktail party Saturday. Billy Napier, Mike, talking about the Dogs. And we got some stuff that we need to share with you because Florida's fans, the Gators, they've actually rallied and gotten behind him. And it's interesting to see how this has changed from the start of the season when they got, you know, beat up by Miami and embarrassed. But he says offensively, obviously Carson Beck talks about their offensive line. He gives a lot of love to Georgia, and I didn't expect anything less.
Right.
But he basically says, you know, their speed at the second and third levels is concerning. There's, you know, the kicking game, they're doing a really good job with all of these areas, whether it's the kicker, the punter, the snapper. And he's just giving all these props to Kirby. And I think, again, he's probably watched that Texas game and went, that might have been their best defensive performance.
Right.
And that may be concerning to Billy Napier with even a quarterback that he has starting for him. I don't know if Florida's going to be able to keep up and be able to stop this defense if they play up to that level again.
And by the way, we did a poll question yesterday, which was kind of interesting. We threw it out there late in the show, and it's still about 3 hours for you guys to vote on it. But the question was pretty simple. Now, again, it's not a scientific poll, so it's not all Georgia fans.
Sure.
Anybody can respond. But the question was, do you trust Carson Beck? And it's basically been running 50-50 since I dropped this. It's right now 50.5% say no, 49.5% say yes. A lot of those guys that say yes say, look, he was dialed in the Texas game. He had a bunch of drops before the interceptions came.
He did. No doubt.
But the slow Beck a bum.
Again, I never said that. And then there's also the slow starts, which have also been a thing.
Florida's 4-3. They need two more wins to be bowl eligible. I don't know if they get it if they are not able to steal one of these games. Everybody just thinks, guys, and by the way, we talk about Georgia's schedule. They had the toughest schedule in college football. And they finish, okay? When you start talking about after this game, so let's just assume Georgia handles business. At Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, ranked. You finish at Florida State. It has been the toughest schedule. They already played A&M. They lost. They played number 8 Tennessee. They lost. I mean, You start looking at this. They started the season against number 19 Miami. They lost.
Right.
So this is a hard schedule to maneuver, and that's why I think Scott Strickland, Mike, has not been willing to say he's out of here and pay him $30 million
to go away. Don't box yourself into a corner in case he puts some amazing comeback, as you just laid out, even though the odds are against it. When I was just down in Tampa, we ran into a bunch of Gator fans at the Bucks-Falcons game, and the opinions were everything from let's give it another try to get rid of him, and everybody now – but this isn't the only team. Everybody in the country is looking at Indiana and Kirk Cignetti and saying, that's the guy I want for my program, but But everybody has one good season with their coach, then they throw more money at it, which makes the buyout more expensive.
Yeah.
Cignetti's going to get a bunch of phone calls, and he certainly looks like he's got the touch.
Well, listen, there are programs, and Florida's one of them. You take that phone call because you know you can win national championships. How many national championships has Indiana been involved in?
From JMU to Indiana, this guy, I love what he said. He goes, hey, man, look at my record. I win.
It's true. Urban Meyer did the same thing. Back when he was coaching and not, having girls sit on his lap. Hey, coming back, Falcons jump up. If you ask us, where are they in the power? Our rankings, we're going to tell you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game. You and me, mister.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard that or not. I was telling Mike, I stopped today on my way up here at Flowery Branch, and I stopped at a place that serves
a variety of food, but not known for one specific item that you ordered.
Well, yeah, I mean, the name has rib in it, okay? And I went, and I didn't order ribs, okay?
Okay.
See. And I was telling Mike, I said, I ordered, because I wanted something fast and quick, and right. I ordered something, I was like, oh, let me get it. So I ordered, 3 chicken fingers.
Right.
They were terrible.
Just overdone, not moist?
How do you screw up chicken fingers?
Yeah.
And so, I'm like, I should have ordered the ribs because it's got rib in it in the name.
I mean, you might as well have just gone to a fast food place.
I know.
If you're going to get a chicken product these days.
So I was just telling Mike my frustration and not in those words.
It's kind of like steak. Sometimes I have a meal and it's like, why did I do that?
Why did I do that?
You're thinking about, man, I could have been such a better meal.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm glad I brought my lunch. Florida, Georgia. Game is moving,
guys. By the way, I don't know. I swear to God. I don't know what goes on in the world.
Did that just pop up?
As soon as we said it, an ad just popped up on my laptop for KFC chicken tenders. Hello, big brother. Look up at the satellite. It's unbelievable. How this happens, and I know you and I have just discussed
this. It's true.
I mean, you mentioned chicken tenders, and the first thing that pops up is KFC chicken tenders.
Yeah. It wasn't them, though. I'll tell you that. It had rib in its name.
Oh, my gosh.
Florida-Georgia game is moving to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in 2026. Mm. Tampa Raymond James Stadium in 27.
Right.
Our buddy Brett McMurphy is reporting this, guys. It's a 2-year break from Jacksonville. They will undergo renovations,
right,
which it looks great. How they're going to, it's not a new stadium, but it looks like it's going to be incredible. And, Mike, I think this is going to be so much fun for Georgia fans to be at Mercedes-Benz for a Florida-Georgia game.
Right on.
It's going to be cool. I would love to see this happen more often.
And we've talked about it. I know that Kirby, because of all the accoutrements they've added to Sanford Stadium, that he wants to get recruits in there for an extra home game that he loses every year by going to a neutral site. Look, when you're winning, nobody complains about the cocktail party. It's only when, you got Ray Goff or Jim Donnan or whoever's not getting the job done that all of a sudden it becomes an issue. And Mark Richt, for that matter. But, yeah, and I was just at Raymond James. Some stadiums just hold their value. There's no – as a fan, I've been in that stadium a dozen times. It doesn't depreciate. It's a perfect venue for the cocktail party in 27. Look, you get your picture by the pirate ship. It's easy to get in and out of, and that'll be fun. And it's fine. And you already talked about Mercedes-Benz. But, yeah, EverBank getting the makeover down in Jacksonville.
Returns to Jacksonville in 2028. So that's cool. And, Kirby, he'd love to get this thing on campus and have that big rivalry game on campus. But I think it serves its purpose for both Florida and Georgia to continue to have it down there in Jacksonville. All right, let's talk about where the Falcons are. And if you're just tuning in, we're live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios here at Flowery Branch. Coach Raheem Morris is coming on next hour. We're also going to grab our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He will stop by to talk with us, guys. He has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and rightfully so. He balled out last week, and he's playing some really good football right now. We'll talk to him as pick his brain about all of that coming up here on the show. You said, if you're asking what time, Dukes and Bell, again, late in the 3, potentially early 4 o'clock, but somewhere around there, so stay tuned. Mike, what about where we currently stand? Are we one of the top 5 teams in the NFC right now? Now, I know records mean something, but I also am doing the eye test here. And I start looking at the NFC, not the AFC. Okay, I'm not talking Ravens or Chiefs or any of that. I'm looking at the AFC right now, and I'm going, are we not one of the top five teams in the AFC?
Right. I mean, we're the third seed right now with a better division record than Arizona out west. And we got a lot of tiebreakers. We got a 4-0 division record. So as we said, we're in a good spot. We're 5-1 in the conference. You know, Detroit looks like a team. I'm curious to see how they're going to go after this, you know, replacing Hutchinson and how that's going to happen.
Do you think if they don't do anything, they don't get there?
I still think they're pretty darn good. I mean, he is that force multiplier. He makes everybody else great, considering they don't really have – they've got a good D-line, but they don't have, like, another superstar opposite him that some teams do. Commanders, look, they're just – let's be honest. They're sprinkled with stardust right now. They just got good things happening. Jaden Daniels. And, look, Dan Quinn's got a – I mean, it's a good defensive scheme.
It is. I will say this. They're young, but they don't know any better right now. They're just playing like crazy. And he's got some familiar faces that we know, you know, Alameda and some of the guys are up there. Right. But maybe this is when they are hot for this time period, and maybe we get hot at the end.
And that's important. Matt Ryan, we had a wild card team when Matt was a rookie. I think a lot of people say they're going to be in there, if not to win the division.
Yes.
Now the Eagles have something to say about that. Look like the Eagles have kind of righted their ship. It's still a little dysfunctional. If you're behind the Eagles bus, one of those wheels is always wobbling. But they just seem like they're in a better place. And Jalen Hurts and all the new coaches, it seems like, you know, despite how you and I were watching that game that day down in New Orleans, and they looked like a hot mess at times. But it seems like maybe the Eagles, but I would put us on a par with the Eagles, Green Bay, and Minnesota right now.
So the reason why I bring this up is, where are we, right? You want to put Detroit in front of us? Fine. You want to tell me the Commanders are 6-2? And okay, fine. We are still one of the top five teams.
Right.
And that means we're better than the Cowboys. It means right now we are a better team than the 3-4 Cowboys, who, again, are coming in here after losing 4 in a row. And, guys, if they lose Sunday to us, now you're talking about them being 3-5. It's the halfway point. Mike, you're not going to make any major moves. Jerry can't because of the salary situation with Dak Prescott. So you're struggling to say, hey, even if he wanted to bring in some extra help, you're struggling now because Dak's not in his rookie deal anymore, and all of a sudden you're going, okay, what can we do? So this idea that Cowboy fans go, oh, we'll get better at the trade deadline, doubtful. What's got to happen for them is their guys have to play better. But what has to happen for us is our guys, especially getting to the quarterback, have got to play better. Because I don't believe, Mike, between now and next Tuesday, November 5th, that we come back up here and we're going to be talking to the newest Falcon. I don't believe that. And this is just me saying this. I know nothing when it comes to this aspect of what Terry Fontenot and you know, company are doing, Ryan Pace and folks upstairs. I just feel like, Mike, the investment – for what we would get versus what we'd give up is not worth it.
I mean, Ojulari is intriguing. I don't know what the ask is going to be and what the contract ramifications would be, because the Giants, you could argue, are looking to do some moves in the offseason, and that would certainly help if we could, you know, they could leverage a pretty decent pick out of it. We've talked about some of the other players, but they're not Max Crosby, and they're not Miles Garrett, and that's fine. Just to remind listeners, Leetu Latu.
Latu.
Two sacks and four. Two sacks, two forced fumbles, and has had 14 tackles. I mean, so he's made some plays. Jared Verse, same thing. He's got two sacks. Dallas Turner's really not doing anything, hasn't done anything. He's been banged up the last two games. So would those guys have made a difference? Don't know. I think we thought we had a guy. You know, unfortunately, he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about this
Dorless.
Before. I mean, and Dorless is okay. It's Bryce Braylon Trice out of Washington. That's a guy that I think that, and we talked about it with Coach. But it is interesting to see just, look, if Jared Verse or Latu wind up with like four or five sacks, well, that's something we need on this team. But that's neither here nor there, because I understand the reason. We want to make sure we're never in quarterback hell. So maybe it's a minor move, Carl. Maybe it's somebody and it's one of those conditional picks. But I still think Fontenot's going to pull the trigger on something.
Thank
you, D-Led.
Please, D-Led.
Even without Brandon Ayuk, who's done for the season, and without Christian McCaffrey, guys, I'm telling you right now, I think we're better than the 49ers. The Cardinals are so up and down, right? If you were to tell me, here's our playoff matchup potentially, and we'll figure this out down the road, but by owning this division, there's nobody in our division that's better. If the Lions were the team we had to go on the road and play without Aiden Hutchinson, Mike, I really like our chances because, again, now you're saying, hey, this guy's not going to be in Kirk Cousins' face all day. And then if we needed to play, you know, the Commanders or even the Eagles, guys, we already beat the Eagles. Right. There's nothing to fear here in the NFC. And if you don't understand or look at this and say, we are in a really good spot and we got a chance to maybe do something here, wake up. We got a chance, but you got to handle business Sunday. And, Mike, the reason is because if you come back after that win last week and you play like you did against Seattle, the belief is you're too up and down, you're not consistent,
right.
And I can't believe that you're a real contender.
Right. Now, again, there were a couple of plays. There were basically four plays that needed to be made that weren't executed. They came out flat. We already discussed that, how flat they were. Coach addressed it at halftime. They were sleepwalking in that game. And you get burned when you're playing the NFL. You're not going to win a game like that. Just wondering, and as we said, just for guys are new to the show or you missed yesterday's show, we're not saying that you need to have 50 or 70 sacks. Carl and I did a deep dive on teams that led the league in sacks. We're just saying you got to be better than worst in the NFL, which is where we stand.
I don't want to be worse than anything.
Right. And the year we went to the Super Bowl and the last year we went to the playoffs in 17, which was a good defense, we were middle of the pack, but it was still 34 and 39 sacks. We're not even going to get even close to that with this group. But if we can continue to bend, don't break, and just find a way, Carl, when you get into the playoffs and you get into some of the quarterbacks we're going to see in the regular season.
Correct.
That's not sustainable to me. I think, and to Falcon fans.
Yeah, and by the way, we're not worried about the AFC. We're not going to see the Chiefs unless we see them in the Super Bowl.
And we know how by the way, we were one blown call away and a fourth down away from winning that game.
I totally agree. I'm not going to worry about the Ravens. We won't see them until we see the Super Bowl. All right? That stuff is down the road.
First things first, let's take care of the division, which we're a long way to winning, and then the conference.
All right, 404-726-0929. Coach is coming up. Kirk Cousins is coming up. We'll get to an NFL blitz as well coming up here at the top of the hour. We have a lot of stories and stuff to get to. Stay there, man. We are live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios.